While John is setting up the amp, what happened to me was that I was living as an artist and had relative freedom as a woman and was considered a bitch in this society. Since I met John, I was upgraded into a witch. What I learned from being with John is that some of his closest friends told me that probably I should stay in the background, I should shut up, I should give up my work, and that way I'll be happy. And suddenly, because I was associated with John, that I was considered an ugly woman, ugly Jack, who took your monument or something away from you.
Yoko kicked me out. I didn't go off on a, I'm going to be a rock and roll bachelor. She literally said, get out. You know, and I said, okay, I'm going. You know, I'm going bachelor free. I'd been married all my life. You know, I'd been married before Yoko, and I immediately married Yoko, so I'd never been a bachelor since I was 20 or something. So I thought, woo-hoo-ha-ha!
But what I did when she kicked me out was I hit the bottle like I was 18 and 19. But, of course, acting like a teenager in Hollywood, in public, with the press, I mean, you know, I just fell apart. And the only thing I knew was go to the bar and drink.
Which you did with a gentleman called Harry Nilsson.
Harry Nilsson and poor old Keith Moon. Mm-hmm. And various other, Ringo, who is not unknown to tipple a few himself. And it was a pretty hectic period, pretty wild, and it sounds funny in retrospect, but it was pretty miserable.
Here we go again. Here we go again and again.
Well, it was the album was in two phases, as it were. It started in 73, actually, when it was a brand new idea. Right, there's been a lot of oldies but goldies since then. I started with Phil Spector, and the tracks that I did with him, he produced.
On the rock and roll, it took me 3 weeks to convince him that I wasn't going to co-produce with him, and I wasn't going to go in the control room. I said, I just want to be your singer. You treat me like Ronnie. We pick the material. I just want to sing. I don't want anything to do with production or writing or creation. I just want to sing.
And to put it simply, there was some psychodrama. I want to take all the new singers. Carol. And the other one, the nipples. I want to take them, hold them tight. All them people that James Taylor had. Just because you left and said goodbye, don't you ever think I'm gonna sit here and cry. Even if my body should tell me so, darling, I would never, never, never let you go. I need some excuse for doing this. Just a little cocaine will set me right on my feet. You feel that I could, I just want to hold you. All right, gentlemen, thank you very much.
Yeah, in the 73 sessions with Phil Spector, we'd have 23 or 28 musicians at once, some of them out of their minds and some of them not.
And that was the first one where I gave Spector his head, although it came to a different kind of head in the end.
You won't let me do Bebop-a-Lula and Sing.
I won't let you do anything. Let's go.
Bebop
until you get this, then you can do Bebop-a-Lula.
And Send Me Some Loving?
You can do anything you want to do, Johnny.
After this.
After this. You could even do Johnny Be Good.
Send me some loving. Send it, I pray. So much.
Here we go. So
what?
We're doing one.
How's it go?
Same way.
How's it go?
Wait a minute, someone's going in. Wait a minute. What is that tweeting bird out there? Oh, God, shut this bird, goddammit, out there.
Won't you send me your
All right,
doesn't matter if it's too loud.
You shouted the birds and the horns in the background. Fucking horns and birds and seagulls.
What?
And shit.
These whistles.
Fuck, you know that sounds like a tape delay?
Phil!
Yeah, I hear it twice as long.
Phil!
Well, I tell you, let Barry
shut up, you fucking... My days are so lonely. My nights are so blue. I dream of... Just a waiting for you.
This sort of collapsed, as it were, and it sort of fell apart. And then there was a long spell where, for one reason or another, I couldn't get hold of the tapes.
Because he ran away with the tapes.
Yeah,
he ran off with the 16 tracks and locked them in his... in his garage or somewhere. I couldn't get him, and he called me one night. A very far out guy, you know. He calls me and says, on the phone, hey Johnny. I said, oh, there you are, Phil. What happened? We're supposed to be doing a session on. I've got the John Dean tapes. I says, what? I've got the John Dean tapes. I said, what are you talking about? He says, the house is surrounded by helicopters now. They're trying to get him. I said, the house is surrounded. I'm buying this garbage, you know. I said, well, what about our session? You know, aren't we supposed to be finishing or something? You know, it's costing money, this. I said, what are you doing? I'm the only one that knows how to tell whether they've been doctored or edited or not. I said, well, what he was telling me in his own sweet way was he had my tapes locked in the cellar in behind the barbed wire and the Afghan dogs and the machine guns. So there's no way you could get them. So that album was stopped in the middle for a year. Cella, cella, cella vie. Sail upon the ocean, sail with me. Sail into tomorrow, every day. Just looking for the sunshine. I'd promised Harry in a drunken stupor I'd produce him. And suddenly, we rented this house. I thought, get them all in one house, then they'll behave themselves. So we got Keith Moon. It was the wrong thing to do. I had Keith Moon, Harry Nielsen, and Ringo, all these people living in a house on the beach, formerly where Kennedy and Madeline had been, or something like that, on one of those LA houses on the beach. And one day I realized, Jesus, I'm the producer. They're going to be asking me where the tapes are. You know, and we'd go in, the bottle would be out, and everybody was just falling on the floor, and nobody was working. So I sobered up then, I just quit cold turkey, the drink, finished off Harry's album. Harry doesn't know when to quit, he wants to go on and on and on, mixing, every time you mix it, he wants to do it again. So I ran away to New York with the Harry tapes. I didn't steal them, I said, Harry, you got to leave me alone to finish this, I'm supposed to be producing it. He followed me to New York, I finally had to tell him, I say, Harry, get the hell out, I want to finish this record. And then suddenly they sent me we got the rock and roll tapes back from Spectre, finally, and I was in the middle of Walls and Bridges. Technically okay, and if you pull it apart as production or, you know, format of the songs, there's nothing wrong with them, but there's an air of loss, there's an air of misery, but you can't put your hand on it, there's a kind of cloud around it. Overall, there's some horrible confusion and loneliness in it that is apparent from the whole album that it gives off.
Got to get down on my knees. Got to get down on my knees. Some people say it's over. Now that we spread our wings, but we know better, darling. The hollow. Is only last year's echo. Bless you, whoever you are. Holding her now, be warm and kind hearted.
It was horrific, you know, I was out of control and nobody was looking after me, and I needed somebody to love me, and there was nobody there to support me, and I fell apart.
Sweet as the smell of success, her body's warm and wet. She'd get me through this god-awful loneliness. I was blind, she blew my mind.
lost weekend that everybody keeps talking about, it wasn't so lost. People saw more of John than they had in the previous years, and he was out and about a lot. He had recorded several albums, starting with Mind Game to Rock and Roll to Walls and Bridges. He worked with Ringo on his album. There's also David Bowie when they collaborated on David Bowie's first number one hit song, Fame, and also Elton John when he went to Caribou. So there was a lot going on.
Okay, thank you.
I did Walls and Bridges, and then I started sorting through the tapes I'd done with Phil. I chose the ones that I thought were good enough, because some of them are a bit weird, you know. And then I went back in the studio after a few weeks' rest from Walls and Bridges and cut enough to make a full album.
I finished off the rock and roll thing in 5 days. I did about eight tracks, all in one after the other, because what I found is when I just sort of relaxed, all the words to Stand By Me, Be Bop, Blue, I knew them all from being 15. They all just came back like that, so it was simple. Mm. So I did that. But funnily enough, at the end of the rock and roll on a track called Just Because, which Phil wanted me to sing, I didn't know it that well. You hear me saying,
just Dr. Winslow Boogie, saying goodnight. From Record Plant East, New York. We hope you had a swell time. Everybody here says hi. Goodbye.
And something flashed through my mind as I said it was, am I really saying farewell to the business? It wasn't conscious. And it was a long, long time before I did take time out.
Yes.
And I looked at the cover, which I'd chosen, which is a picture of me in Hamburg.
That's right.
First time we got there.
That's right.
And I thought, is this some kind of karmic thing? Here I am with this old picture of me in Hamburg from 61, and I'm saying farewell from Record Plant, and I'm ending as I started, singing this straight rock and roll stuff.
Can endure. One such thing is poverty, but loneliness is something I can't endure. There are many things in the world I can endure. In fact, I can endure anything, but loneliness is one thing I can't endure. How could I stand loneliness? Loneliness. How are you supposed to cope with loneliness? Loneliness. How would one live with loneliness?
The worst was being separated from Yoko and realizing that I really, really needed to be with her, wanted to be with her, and could not literally survive without her as a functioning human being. I just went to pieces, and I didn't realize that I needed her so much.
Seeing as Thanksgiving and Thanksgivings are joyous occasions, we thought we'd make tonight a little bit of a joyous occasion. By inviting someone up with us onto stage.
Jokingly, Elton was telling me he was going to do this Madison Square Garden concert, and he said, will you do it with me if the record's number one? And I did not expect it to get to number one at all. I didn't think it had a chance in hell, because I wasn't being very well received on any level then, you know, with the cold Texas and the hamburgers or whatever. And so I said, sure I will. Well, I lived to get nervous about that, because a year later, whenever it was, he came back and says, okay, it's time to pay your dues.
And I'm sure he will be no stranger to anybody in the audience. where I say it's our great privilege and your great privilege to see and hear Mr. John Lennon.
That was in the audience.
Yeah.
But then when John came up, the whole sort of hall was shaking because everybody was just jumping and really, literally the floor, that floor was shaking.
The place
was I thought it was like an earthquake, didn't it?
And I went on there and did the number, and I was quite astonished that the crowd was so nice to me, because I was only judging by what papers said about me, and I thought I may as well not be around. You know? And the crowd was fantastic.
Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. Out of blue or out of sight, all right, all right. Don't need a gun to blow your mind.
I mean, I'm sure that people thought, well, this is great, you know. But this John that I observed was a different John. I thought, oh, she looks so lonely. Yeah. He looks so lonely out there.
And that's when Yoko and I got back together, the night I performed with Elton at Madison Square Garden. Came off stage, and there she was, you know, and we looked at each other, uh-oh. You know, it was like the Indica Gallery scene again.
Well, you've been here this afternoon. You got a lot of insight to the oldies and your new album and so forth.
Yeah.
But you do have some sort of news, I understand, which I'm sure our listeners are not really aware of.
Yeah, well, I would like really to dedicate this whole album to my very special friend and wife, Yoko, who you might not have heard that I am living with. And as I put it, our separation was a failure.
You're back together again.
We are. Those two inimitable loonies are back together again, and we're very happy, and this is like, I don't know.
It's been very hard, but it's getting easier now. Hard times over.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's say it once
news.
More with the Yoko.
Yeah, John and Yoko are back together again. Our separation was a failure. Goodbye, folks, and keep listening.